Thank you, Brother Hayward. Brother Ricky. What a blessing. Take it one day at a time. Before you know it, you're an old man. Those days that looked so long when we were young, all of a sudden they're pretty short, aren't they? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. What a joy to be in his house today. What a joy to see you here with us. Amen. I meant to mention a little bit earlier there. Remember to pray for Brother Rodney this week. He had surgery this week and getting him prepped for kidney dialysis and stuff that he's going to probably need. And so y'all remember Brother Rodney. Amen. We've been praying for him a long time, but please continue to pray whenever you pray that God will be with him and help him during this time of need. Amen. Now, it's just 2 weeks away from Easter. Amen. You believe that? It is. A lot of people be planting, doing a lot of things. We'll be here to worship the Lord. Amen. Think about his glorious resurrection and our resurrection with him. Lord willing, you come, and we'll probably go to the table of the Lord that day also. Haven't done that in a while, and Easter will probably be just a good time to do that, because Jesus said, as oft as you do this, you do show forth the Lord's death. How long? Till he come. Amen. Glory to God. Well, good to be in the house of God. Open your Bibles this morning to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. We've been preaching a series which intended to be one message. And this is the 14th message in this series. I don't know. I'm just a poor preacher, I guess, disorganized. But we didn't intend to be this long. But God willing, today's the last. We're going to move on to better things before everything tears up. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. We're talking about voices of devils. Voices from unexpected places. Amen. Thus far, we've not heard the voices of demons. We've heard the voice of the devil. But we've not heard the voice of demons. But we're going to read this morning in Luke chapter 8. Some words that demons speak. So right off the bat, we learn from this message right away that demons can talk. Say, preacher, what language do they talk? Well, whatever ear your language your ear understands, that's the one they're going to speak. Amen. Not a problem getting their message across. Amen. And we're going to think about some things this morning. We've learned a lot of things about demons. The question I put to you this morning, are there any things we can learn from demons? You see, you've got in your mind this Hollywood imagery of long-fanged, slobbering, ugly, hairy, snarling, horny individuals growling and making all kinds of obscene noises. That's a demon, but nothing really could be farther from the truth. There's nothing appealing in that, but believe me, when they want to, they can be very appealing. So we ask the question this morning, what can we learn from demons as we hear what they have to say? So let's begin reading this morning, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. Let's begin reading in verse number 26. Verse number 26. Now, Jesus is pressed by a throng, as he often was when he healed people and did many wonderful works. And he said, come on, boys, get in the boat. Let's go across the sea. That was the Sea of Galilee. And they went to the other side. Of course, while they were going, of course, the devil tried to kill him once more when they got out on that water. And so it says in verse 26, they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against or opposite Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils, that's what we would call demons today. The word demon did not exist. If you will get Noah Webster's original dictionary of 1918 or 28-1, I can't recall, you won't find the word demon because it didn't exist. That's why in the King James Bible you see the word devils here. The word devil for the devil is a different word, as we have covered. So this man had demons in him for a long time. Now, I want you to notice the result. What happens when people get full of demons, full of devils, and wear no clothes? I think I ran into him over at Walmart the other day, if I'm not sure. Neither abode he in any house, but in the, what? Tombs, the graveyard. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, the Most High?" Now, this is the voice of a demon that is saying this. Amen. "Thou, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, now this might seem a little strange to you and I. Might be the last question we would ask. But here's the question that Jesus asked. "What is thy name?" We learn that demons, my friend, are individual, and they also have individual personalities. And he, the demon, said, "Legion." Another part, he said, "My name is Legion." Why? Because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, the Sea of Galilee. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountains. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. He allowed them to do it. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Look what a difference it makes when Jesus passes by. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they all shouted for joy. Well, wouldn't you think that would be a good response? This poor tormented man, chained and fettered, wild, living in the tombs. Now he's of his right mind. He's got his clothes on at Jesus' feet. No, the scripture says they were afraid. What were they afraid of? The devils were gone. You wouldn't think they would be afraid, but they were. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. There was some testifying going on about what occurred here. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to come have dinner with them after he had done such a wonderful thing. No, that ain't what it says, no matter what kind of Bible you're toting. What does it say? The whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. You might say to get out of town. I know what that feels like. I've been asked to get out of town before. You're looking at a preacher. They got a petition up through the town one time to me to get out of town. I should have quit years ago, shouldn't I? What's wrong with me? You know there's something wrong with me. Got to be. They told him, get out of town. Huh? What was the reason? Well, look here. For they were taken with great fear. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Never flirt with the devil. But you should always fear God more than you fear the devil. They were taken with great fear. And Jesus said, I'm not going nowhere. I don't have to pay no attention to what you've got to say. No, once again, that's not a good paraphrase, is it? He went into the ship and returned back again. Let me tell you something. Jesus never went anywhere he was not wanted. There was a time when he sent his disciples out to the cities ahead of him to tell them, hey, the master's coming. And he said, if they don't hear your message, if they don't listen to you, if they don't take care of you, shake the dust off of your feet and depart from that place. Amen. He got in the boat and he left. Now, the man out of whom the devils were departed, now, this is where we see the response they should have had. Besought him that he might be with him. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said to many people, follow me. This man says, Lord, I want to follow you. But Jesus says, the Bible says he sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done to thee. And he went his way and published. Now, I like that word. We think of something being published. We think of it being in the newspaper. We think of it being in a magazine. We think of it being on Facebook today, I guess. I don't know. Amen. In other words, it means he let the word out, son, what God had done for him throughout the whole city, how great things who Jesus had done unto him. Came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all, look, I like this word, waiting for him. Hallelujah. Let's look at the voices of demons here this morning. Notice what they said. Verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he did what? He cried out. Literally, he screeched, he screamed, and fell down before him. The first voice we see here this morning is what I call a voice of reverence. Now, if you'll go to Mark chapter 5, you'll find this story told by three writers. Matthew 8, where we're at, you'll find, or Matthew 8, you will find the story. Mark chapter 5, you will find the story. And in Luke chapter 8, where we are right now. If you read Mark's account of what took place, he says there that this man cried out and he ran to Jesus, and he adds this, he fell down and worshiped him. We were talking in Sunday school, the battle of the ages that we've seen transpire between God and Lucifer never takes place as a face-to-face encounter, would be no match, but we see that it is a battle between angels, fallen angels and unfallen angels, battling out through time, amen. So they know, even though they're falling, who Jesus was and even began to call him by name. He fell down and worshiped him. Did you know that the devils are submissive to the Lord even though they're devils? They have to fall down before him when he shows up. Amen. You know what James said? He said to the Jewish crowd, thou believest there's one God? He said, thou doest well. And then he said this. He said, the demons believe also and tremble. Amen. Amen. And so he worshiped him. And then we see what I call the voice of recognition. He fell down and he cried out with a loud voice. First thing he said, amen, what have I to do with thee? Now I want you to notice the order of that statement that this demon said. What have I to do with thee? Notice that he did not say, what have you to do with me? See, man may not want God involved in everything in life and in society, but I want to tell you that he is involved whether you want him to be involved or not. Hallelujah. He'll be involved either in salvation or in condemnation. Amen. Deliverance or a judgment. And so he said, what have I to do with thee? Now, what does he mean when he says that? That's kind of an unusual expression. It literally means what we would normally say, what do we have in common? What he's saying is, I haven't messed with you. I haven't encountered you. Why are you here? Amen. What do we have in common? But I want you to look at this voice of recognition. He knew who Jesus was, but he not only knew and recognized his divinity, but he recognized his humanity. Jesus. Now, Jesus had three names. What was it? Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was not names as you and I used to have. With three names. You ever wonder why people have three names? Some people have more. Some people, Ann's brother's only got two names. He don't even have the third one. Amen. Lord is his heavenly name. Amen. Jesus is his human name. Amen. Amen. And Christ the Anointed is his Savior name. Hallelujah. Amen. He says Jesus. Now, if you'll go to Mark chapter 1 later and read the encounter that Jesus has with the demon there, he says he calls him Jesus of Nazareth. So he not only was aware that this individual that was before him was a divine character because he called him the Son of God Most High, but he knew that he also was human, that he was a man called Jesus who was from the town of Nazareth. Boy, that's a pretty interesting study that you and I ought to have, amen. But not only did they know his identity and his divinity, but they understood his ability, because what did he say? Torment me not. Now, if you'll go over and read Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 8, he says this, hast thou come to torment me before the time? Before the time. So, we learn from what these devils say that they have a pretty good knowledge of things past, things present, and things future. And I've got a lot of voices I could go over here that I have outlined, but I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead to the end because I'm ready to get out of this series now. And so I want us to look at what they knew about and what we can learn from what demons have to say. Now, the first thing, as we've already noted, is that the demons believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. Now, that is of utmost importance, brothers and sisters, because there are many religions in the world, and they all say that you can find God through Him. Now, I hope that you've been here enough to understand that Satan is in the religion business. And the religion business is more profitable to him than the saloon business and the casino business. Amen. For he can send many more people to hell through religion than he does through those type of things. Amen. Amen. They know that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. Now, friend, that's your first step to ever getting saved and getting right with God. You're going to have to believe who Jesus claimed to be and accept it. Book of Hebrews chapter 11 says, he that cometh to God must, listen now, believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So before you ever get right with God, you've got to believe there's a God. And you're going to have to believe that Jesus was the Son of God who died for your sins. Amen. And that's what they believe. Not only that, they believed he had the power to change men's lives. What have I to do with thee? Why are you here? Now, they focusing on themselves, amen. But they knew good and well Jesus had the power to change men's lives. Now, Jesus asked this devil, identify yourself. You know who I am. Now, who are you? And he responded, legion. Another version of the story that he said, we are legion before we are many. Now, where does that name come from? It was a Roman division, and it could consist of anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 men. I mean, you ask yourself the question, how many demons can fit in one body? When we think of demon possession, we think of only having one demon, don't we? Now, I've known some folks that come close to making me understand this a whole lot clearer. There had to be more than one in there. Be so mean. Amen? He said, we are legion because we are many. Now, we get a clue from Mark. Because the Bible says there was a herd of swine nearby. Now, listen to what he said. The number of which was about 2,000. Well, I'll tell you this, if they could fit, all that bunch could fit in one man, they wouldn't have any problem fitting in 2,000 hogs, would they? Amen? Amen. But they understood and knew that Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, had the ability to change people's lives. Amen. I want to tell you something. You never want to get up one Sunday morning and say, I want to become religious. Amen. I'm going to try to do the right thing, you know, and be a good citizen, do this and do that. Amen. No, what you need to understand is you need God. You need to find God through Christ, for He and only He can ever change your life. I had a 68 Chevelle when I went to BBI over here. On the front of it, it had a tag that said, Christ is the answer. A fella asked me one time, he said, if Christ is the answer, what's the question? I said, son, it's whatever you can come up with, He's the answer. He's the answer, amen. He's the one that changes people's lives. Glory to God. Amen. Now, having said that, think of the problems we have in America. We don't think about this in Bonifay, Florida, because we don't see it, do we? Amen. Much. But you go out to San Francisco and L.A., and some of the people in this church have been there, and you see all these people's in tents living along the sidewalks, cluttered all up. And they describe them this way, that they are homeless. What a faux word, F-A-U-X, I'll use. People are not homeless. You know it well as I do. If they were simply homeless, they wouldn't be carrying them hypodermic needles and drug paraphernalia out there to them to keep them from getting diseases. They'd be carrying them bologna, potted meat, something to eat. Amen? You want me to tell you what the answer to that problem is? Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Did this demon-possessed man have a home? He did one time. Why? If you read the scripture here, you'll find that he was originally out of the city in verse 27. Now, if he was from the city, guess what? There was a time he had a home. But where was he living when Jesus found him? In the graveyard, amongst the dead. Why do you think people are afraid to go in graveyards at night? All it'll take is a twig to crack and they'll have a heart attack. The old people used to say there was haints in there. Have you ever heard the word haint? You know what I mean? I've used that word, Brother Larry, and people wouldn't know what I was talking about. I'd have to explain to them what a haint is. Amen. Yes, you could call him a homeless man. He once had a home. Now he's out there in the midst of nowhere, suffering, out of his brain. Couldn't you say the same thing about that homeless crowd in the tents? Some of them, I call them zombies. That's what they look like. And I don't even know what a zombie is. I've seen them on TV. Hope there ain't none, but it's what it reminds me of. Amen? Amen? What's the cure for them? Same cure for this man. If they could find Jesus, they might say, what have I to do with thee? Huh? I think of Peter. When Jesus came and called Peter, he got on his boat. He shoved out a little way, and he preached to the people on the shore. Peter'd fish, he ain't caught nothing. Jesus said, shove out a little bit further and throw your nets. I can hear Peter now. I'm going to paraphrase this saying, now look, Jesus, you're a carpenter. That's what everybody knew him as. I'm a fisherman. You know how to build things, but I know how to fish. And you really shouldn't be trying to tell me how to fish. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll shove her out there. And when he threw that net, well, guess what happened? The whole thing began to tear apart. Peter fell down and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. What was he saying? What have I to do with you? And why in this world would you have anything to do with me? See, here's the problem we face. Most of us today, and most of us sitting here today, we think we're pretty good people, that we're at least good enough for God to accept us, you know. Maybe even tolerate us. Isn't that true? You see, our problem with evangelism today in the United States of America is you can't find a lost person anymore. Amen. They knew that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God and that he could change lives. But they knew more than that. They knew that one day they would have to face him in judgment. Matthew's gospel, he said, have you come to torment us before the time? So here we see they knew two things. They knew that there was a day of judgment that was coming. Amen? A specific time of judgment whereby they would have to give an account to God Almighty. You see, we're learning things from the mouths of demons. We've learned from them that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. We found that he can change men's lives, but we also find that one of these days we're going to have to stand before him and give an account for what we've done with Jesus. You see, that's the fable that we live in under. Yes, I know I'm going to have to stand before God one day, but if my good outweighs my bad, I'll be all right. And I think my good outweighs my bad. Well, who's the judge of your good and your bad? Probably got a bad judge somewhere in there, because it's you doing the judging. Who are you comparing yourself to? That's what we think, isn't it? Amen? But no, we say, well, preacher, I know so-and-so down there at the church. He's a deacon, and I'm just as good as he is. Or even the preacher, I'm just as good as that preacher is. And you may be 100% right, but you're still going to hell without Jesus. Amen. You see, that's what will keep you from coming to Jesus, your own so-called perceived goodness. Amen. Amen. And if we could ever get that message out to people today, they'd be coming down this aisle and saying, Lord, save me. Save me. Because the only way and the only reason God will ever accept you, the only reason He will ever accept me on the day of judgment is because of what I have done with Jesus. What the devil say? What have I to do with thee? Friend, I won't be able to go up there when those gates open up and say, Lord, I'm ready. Open the gates. I was a preacher. I was a Baptist. I built a church. I pastor churches. I baptize people. That ain't the question. They may all be good things, but the question is, what did you do with Jesus? You knew Jesus was the Son of God. You know that He died for your sins. Now, what did you do? Did you believe the message of the gospel? Did you receive the message of the gospel? And did you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? Or did you say, I'm good enough like I am. I don't need Jesus. These demons understood something, my friend. One day they were going to face God. And that time was somewhere in the future. But buddy, they were afraid that it had come, because they said, have you come to torment us before the time? Now, I want to tell you what they said here. I got to get out of here. Too much tore up. They pled with Him after these statements. Their last request was this of their voice. Don't send us. Another version, don't cast us out into the deep. Now, what would you naturally think they meant when they said, don't cast us into the deep? I thought many years, they didn't want to be cast into the water. But that ain't the word, deep. You'll find that word used 7 times in one place, the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, this same word, which literally is our word abyss, is translated the bottomless pit. John in chapter 20 said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a great angel, by the way, having a chain in his hand. And he changed that old serpent, the devil, 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. That's this word right here. You see, they thought that the day of judgment had come, that they were going to be cast into that pit, that bottomless pit. So they said, please, just let us go into those hogs. We won't bother this man anymore. There was one place Jesus cast the devil out of a man. You know what He said to him after He cast him out? He said, don't bother him no more. I like that. Amen. He not only cast him out, He said, don't come back. You've been evicted. Don't come back. Because we do read about demons that did depart their house, amen, and came back after a while. Isn't that true? Amen. Glory to God. They said, don't cast us into the bottomless pit. You see, that's where that bunch was. back in Genesis 6. That's where they are right now. And the Bible says that after Jesus returns for his church, that there are four angels that are chained. Guess where they're chained? The Euphrates River. Oh, there's a study there. You find the river Euphrates in Genesis chapter 2 at the beginning of this book. It flowed out of Eden. River Euphrates is still over there, my friend. Don't tell me the Bible ain't relevant. The Bible says there are four angels that are chained in that river. Have you been noticing lately the river's drying up and they're finding all kind of tunnels and caverns beneath that river? The Bible says those four angels will be released, and the Bible says they will kill one third of mankind. Now, I'm not up to date with how many billions there are on this planet. But I'll tell you this, if you kill over 33% of them, son, you've got a problem on your hands. You've got a real problem. But I've got worse news than that. Before it's done, almost two-thirds of humanity will die. Why will they die at that time? Because man has rejected God. Man has rejected his son. God's done everything that he could do. Finally, he says, "This is it, son. Go get your bride." And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he will then pour his wrath out upon this world. Fred, I want to tell you something. You and I, neither one are getting away with anything. Mark her down. I lied to my daddy sometime when I was young. Why? Trying to get away with some things. But in reality, there are very few things I got away with. You ain't gonna get away with nothing when it comes to God, son. We all gonna answer to God. And I tell you what, this God-rejecting, God-hating world is gonna give an account to him. But before that happens, he's gonna judge this world. And there's going to be economic collapse. There's going to be disease. There's going to be death. There's going to be hunger. And I'm going to tell you the saddest part about it. This is worse than anything. The Bible says, "Yet they repented not of their sins, their sorceries, and their idolatry, and all the things that they did." That tells you that this world, this global system, when Jesus returns, will be a reprobate world. I'm getting off base. I've got to get back. What can we learn from the voices of devils? They understood his ascendancy. You know, the Bible says he ascended, he descended in the book of Ephesians. Amen. What does it mean? They understood his godhood, his divinity. They understood his appearing, that one day he would come. We talked about before how that the devil lost track of him when he was hid in Egypt and did not find him again until he was baptized and he was identified, amen. Now, let's think about this a second before I shut up. Think of the you think you have a communication system today with your cell phone, with your computer and all. Think about the communication system that devils have. No wonder they're so successful with fortune tellers and soothsayers and people like that, son. They knew all this stuff. That's the kind of communication system that they have. They knew that he was coming. They knew his authority, that he was going to be judged when he did come. They knew his appointments. There's going to come a day when he would judge them. The Bible says in the book of Acts 17 that there's coming a day when he will judge the world by one man, Jesus Christ, his son. Something else they understood was that abyss. Don't cast us into the bottomless pit before the time. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something that I learned from the voice of devils. There's coming a day when I'm going to leave this world. No doubt about it. That's what I tell people. Tell me they don't believe in God. The first question I ask them is this: do you believe in death? You can't drive to your job. You can't drive to the store without passing half a dozen graveyards. So it's impossible to deny death. Isn't that right? Well, what happens after death? I'm going to die if the Lord's tarrying. At that point in time, son, I'm going one of two directions. I'm either going to meet the Lord at the gates of heaven, or I'm going to open my eyes in the depths of hell. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. And what will determine which way I go will be what I do with Jesus in this life. I either believed in Jesus, I received Jesus, or I rejected Jesus. Now, here's the excuse people like to use. They're indifferent. I worked with a firefighter, and he had a young daughter, and that's when the gambling was beginning to come in. Of course, they knew I was opposed to it. I said, let me tell you something, brother. What you do in your life is going to have a big determination on what's going to happen to that little girl. And I said, you ought to have her in church learning something about God while she's young, because there's going to come a time when she's going to close her ear, not only to what you have to say as parent, but going to close their ear to what God has to say. You need to get that little child in church. You know what his response was? Oh, well, yeah, yeah. Here's what I'm going to do. You know, everybody thinks they're so smart. He said, I'm going to wait till she gets grown and she's of age, and I'm going to let her make up her own mind. I said, well, now, ain't that wonderful? What's he doing? He's trying to get out of accountability. I said, well, that's good, but I said, how about this? Come Monday morning when she gets up and has to go to school, tell her she don't have to go to school if she don't want to. Let her make up her own mind. You see, you're not willing to let her make up her own mind when it comes to important things. Amen. Let me ask you something. Have you made up your mind about Jesus? There are only two options. He either was who he declared to be, and he came to do what he said that he would do, or he was a liar, and I'm a fool for believing in him. But I'll tell you this, I think he's proved himself over and over again enough for me to be convinced that, as the demon said, Jesus of Nazareth, you're the Son of God. And I don't know why you'd have anything to do with me, but I pray that you will, because one of these days I'm going to stand before you. Now, here is the difference between me and the demons and you and the demons. There was no salvation ever provided for the devil or his demons. But God did provide salvation for mankind, his creation. Well, that seems, I like this word, it's a modern day word, discriminatory. God's a racist. God's a bigot. What's the difference? Huh? I'm going to tell you the difference. God created man in his own image, and God will not let that image be desecrated. Have you ever come to Jesus? I tell you what, no better time than right now. We're fixing to stand, and we're going to sing. If you don't know that you're saved, that you're secure, that you're ready to meet God because you've trusted Jesus, why don't you do that today? Why don't you do that today? Come down here and take my hand, and we'll pray together. We'll go to the throne of God, the throne of grace, and God will save you. Say, oh, yeah, preacher, I'm saved. Have you ever been baptized? Maybe you need to ask the question that I asked. Should I be? You see, when you're baptized, you're identifying publicly with him. And Jesus said, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my God, which is in heaven. Amen. Are you saved? I don't care if you're 3 this morning, 30, or 99. If you hadn't been saved, today is the day of salvation. You come as we sing. What number, brother? 85.